sense. The findings of all masters who came in the past have been that the creator of this world, he has been created by none. He is everlasting, unchangeable, permanent. And so our souls are of the same essence as that of God. It is also everlasting, unchangeable problems. The reason being that God is made of one substance, all consciousness, as it is made of one substance, there is no question of its being decomposed. Similarly, our souls are being made of the same one substance that is also everlasting. God is all bliss, all joy, all peace. It is sort of to say an ocean of intoxication. Similarly, our soul was like that. But with all that we find that we are all unhappy. When we are of the same essence as that of God, why are we unhappy? So for that reason, masters, whoever came, they always said that they have found not a single man who is born on earth and is happy. Every man has some, one or the other, some cause of complaint, some kind of affliction he is undergoing. That may be physical, may be mental, may be financial. So whomsoever you will ask, he will say, well, I am happy, but there are always but such and such thing I am just craving for, I have not had, I am very much in pain, very much in agony. So similarly, Guru Nanak says, all the world over is unhappy. Swamiji, the latest Mahatma, he says, addresses the soul, O soul, I know that you are not happy. You are worried, you are in agony. Now, similarly, Tulsidas, a great saint, he says, well, everybody is unhappy. Now the question arises, if we all are unhappy, how can we happy? Truly speaking, we are happiness, joy, peace, personified, because soul is of the same essence as that of God. So Tulsi Das saint says, if we want to be happy, we should sit by the feet of some master. He can be happy and no other. And why? How is he happy? because he has analyzed himself from the bondage of mind and matter, known himself, has become the mouthpiece of the perennial source which is all happiness and joy. He has achieved that by his attainment, and he can also help us to have the same in earthly life. So we are unhappy because Master tells us that our soul are under the control of mind. Mind is under the control of the outgoing faculties, and outgoing faculties are under the control or identified with the outside players. So much so that we have forgotten ourselves, our happiness and joy, our bliss, or intoxications, you might say, that has been diffused into the world, that unless we withdraw from there, know ourselves, even then you'll find some peace, some joy. But if we become the mouthpiece of God, we will truly happy. The main obstacle to that realization is our own mind, which is fond of pleasures, a child for parents and friends and playmates. As young for his wife and children, then for you find some or other we are attached, you see, somewhere. So much so we are after wealth, property and prestige. He goes on seeking pleasure, one pleasure after the other, thus chasing a mirage. Mirage is one when you go to a desert, at a distance if you look, the sun shines on the sand, it appears there is a spring water there. He runs up to that place, he finds no water still, he finds spring water further ahead. So similarly, we are, all of us, after finding happiness, sometimes we find in our dolls, sometimes in playmates, sometimes in worldly enjoyments, but sometimes in our intellectual attainments, and we go on one after the other. We find also there no real happiness. Only we have some reflection of happiness, but that is of our own self, which is identified for a time, for a while with something. As a dog, you see, who eats the bone, there is no taste in the bone, but his own blood flows, and he drinks his own blood and thinks, perhaps this is due to the bone he is chewing. Similarly, this dire piece of bliss what we have got, this is in our own selves. So long as our souls are the expression of which is called attention, that is just identified with something outside, for the time being, one feels happiness. You feel withdrawn from that thing, or that thing withdrawn from him, that withdrawing of the attention from anything gives us grief, unhappiness. So long as we are absorbed in that, so much so that we forget ourselves, we find happiness there. Really, that happiness is not there, that is our own reflection there. So you will find almost the soul is dominated by the mind, and the latter is ruled by the senses. So, as it were, the man is tied down by mind. So if you'd like to have happiness, we will have to stop our outgoing faculties from outside, liberate our mind from the clutches of outgoing faculties, and then analyze ourselves from mind. You'll find some bliss there, real, but if you become the mouthpiece of God, you'll find all happiness. So Master is one at whose feet you learn how to liberate yourself from mind and outgoing faculties, know yourself, and have a contact with God, which is all pervading. So you'll find we are, as it were, under a grand delusion. Just see, man has got 5 senses working through the 5 outgoing organs, sense organs, you might say, eyes, ears, taste, smell, and touch. So ever since a child is born, he is in the habit of looking outside. He continues looking things very fixed, with fixed gaze, receives impressions. Ever since childhood up to date, we have been receiving impressions through the eyes. About 80% of the impressions from outside we receive through the eyes alone. We have been hearing from the very childhood all through life so far, so we have been also receiving impressions through the ears. That amounts to practically about 14% of the impressions. The remaining percentage of impressions are received through other senses. So, as it were, what results? We have been looking to the outside world, receiving impressions, so much so that those very impressions are stored in the subconscious reservoir of our minds. And those very things are are overflowing, you see. Similarly, we are awake from outside and asleep from within. So we are leading, as it were, a superficial life. Similarly, our eyes, our ears are receiving impressions from outside through the ears, and those impressions also go to add to the impressions already being received through the eyes in the subconscious reservoir of our mind. The result is we are hearing from outside and we cannot hear the voice of God within us. As it were, we are asleep from within and awake from outside. Similarly, other organs of sense receive so many impressions through the tongue in the way of taste. So, some through the smell and other through the touch. So, as it were, we are asleep within, we are deaf within, we are tasteless within, you see. So we are asleep from within and awake outside. And this mind is just intoxicated in the impressions he has been receiving all through life up to date. And he's just leading a life, what you can say, as it were, man is asleep. That is why all masters who came in the past, they've been telling us, awake, arise, and stop not until the goal is reached. That means we are asleep. Now you find how we are asleep. What awakening means, if we rise, we stop the previous impression that we have been receiving from outside, and already which are existing within us, if we deplete them by some way or the other, only then we get some awakened life. In a house in which a man, the owner, is just fast asleep, when anybody may come, put anything there and take away anything, he is not conscious. So Master says, please awake in the house you live in. Why not? It is dark already, why not lit a lamp over there? If somebody is waking in the house and there is light in the house, no thief will dare to enter the house. So long there is darkness, the owner of the house is quite fast asleep, any robber will come and plunder away. Rob you of all the things that are lying in the rooms. So this is something Master says, please awake. They not only say awake, but they help us. Kabir says, O man, thou hast got the life of man body. This is the time of being awake. If you know now, no, do not wake up, when will you wake up? So man body is the golden opportunity that we have got. This is the time of waking up and lighting a lamp in the house, electrify it, and then you can say there no robber will dare to enter your house. You will find we are being robbed off by the five robbers of the lust, greed, taste, touch, smell. We are robbed that we do not know. From now, all through day and night we are being robbed away, but we are not conscious of that. That is Master says, well, look here. If you wake up in the house you are living in, and what is that house? This is the physical body of the man that you have got, in which you wake up and light a lamp inside, where you can be safe from the onslaughts of the robbers from outside. So all master tell us, you are going under a grand delusion. You are sleeping fast. You must wake up. You must go out of this delusion. Learned and the unlearned both, poor and the rich alike, well, men in position and the subordinates, children and the old, all are alike, asleep, ignorant of the house they live in. Whereas we find we are the indweller of the body and God is the controlling power keeping us in the body. Both reside in the same house, but we do not talk with each other. For Master, that is why I always be saying like that whenever they came. Gurudev said the same thing, when they awake, why are you stopping just at the beginning of the road? Their destination is far ahead yet. Awake, don't sleep, walk on. Stop, Lord, until the goal is reached. All masters, of course, had the same thing in their own languages of the times when they came to the earth. So all masters, the reason, how can we awake? How can we come out of this grand delusion? The reply was given to you yesterday, you see. Learn to die so that you may begin to live. Die from outside. Awake from inside. How we are awake outside? Because attention, which is the expression of our souls, is diffused in the world, receiving all impressions day and night, and we are living, as it were, a superficial life of awakening outside. In sleep, in dreams, we have the same impressions. When you go to fast sleep, the same impressions which are overflowing within us, they just be reverberated, you see. So first thing is to rise above body consciousness and the other thing is, you know what we are doing. Man is has three aspects. One, it has the physical aspect. Further, it has the intellectual aspect, and third, it is spiritual aspect. So we have done so much about our own physical selves, from morn till night, doing our best, so much so, we have no time for something more important. We have given also too much. We are doing too much of the intellectual way. We have known so much about so many sciences. We have made wonderful progress in the scientific way, new inventions from day to day. We can hear from thousands of miles through radios. We can see men talking through televisions. We can fly around the world in 1 hour or so. We are now trying to read the moon. These things, you know, when you leave the body, all these things, outward possessions, outward enjoyments, outward wealth, outward, what you say, prestige, and everything remains here. Nothing to follow you. Your soul, you have to leave the body all alone. As compared, you compare all these three, you'll find our soul is most important, more important than our physical body, and our physical body is more important than the outward possessions. This is the right perspective which the masters have, or those who are awakened have. So they work likewise, which is most important, they give it most attention. What is comparatively less important, they give less attention. And which is of the least importance, they give comparatively much less attention to that. But what we are doing, you find that is why Master said, is not body more than the raiment, and life more than the meat? If his house is on fire, if you escape quite safe, you say, thank God, I am saved. Although all the possession, you see, the house and all others, whatever he has got, they are all burnt down, but he thanks because he considers his body more valuable than these possessions. And is not life more than the meat? If escaping like that, your leg or arm is broken, you say, thank God, I am saved. So our life is more important than our body, and body more important than the outside possessions. Now just compare, as an awakened man, what are we doing? So all masters, when they came, they said, God first and world next. We say, world first and God next. We pray God, we worship God. What for? To have all the requirements of this world. To keep your body fit. And that is all. Whereas all these things are left behind, we have to go all alone. What have we done for our own selves? From also whenever they came, they just draw our attention to this and tell us very clearly, what does it profit a man if he gains the possessions of the whole world and loses one's own soul? You see, if an accident is there, you are a millionaire, you are a king, you are a president, everything left behind. Similarly, at the time of death, what does it follow you along with you there? Nothing. For the world over, we have done so much, spent so much of our time. So any awakened man comes and tells you, dear friend, what are you doing? After all, you have to leave the body someday. No exception to the rule. Just devote some time for that purpose as well. And they say, no, there's no time. I've got no time. For the private work or anything like, they'll take leave. from the jobs and attend those things which are more important. And this is the most important subject and the mostly ignored. Just consider calmly who will tell us a wise man. We may be very wise in our own ways, but awakened men will never tell you. They always say, why are you playing like children in the dust? Awake, this is the time for you to be of sense, be wise, have foresight. If not, you are not to die today, you have to die tomorrow. Tomorrow may include a month, a year, or so much, years. After all have to leave the body. There are no exception to the rule. So they say, our physical body can live on the bread. Our intellectual can develop on reading and writing. But there should be some bread of life and water of life to be had. And what is that? We are conscious beings. We must have some conscious bread of life, some this living water of life. What could that be? That the masters always, they draw attention to that and said always, man cannot live on bread alone. You give bread to the body, you are physically strong. You have given bread of reading and writing, you are intellectually strong. What have you given to your soul? For that is when our masters come to tell us, well, look, you're a man, if you want to have that bread of life that is already within you, you can have that only when you withdraw from outside, when you just leave chasing a mirage, just coming out of the delusion. That you can have only when you withdraw from outside and just rise above, first draw inside, then rise above the physical, rise above senses, you will find the bread of life and the water of life already there. And what is that? For that we will have to invert inside, and even by inversion inside that will do. We will have to, by inverting inside, even within oneself, we will have to find that bread of life when we rise above body consciousness. We reach the third eye or the single eye, which is already within us, but that is closed. We are blind within us. That also we have got that within when we invert from outside. Now we hear outside, we are deaf from within. If you go to some master, he will give you a sitting and tell you, give you an experience how to rise above senses, open your inner eye and the inner ear which are sealed to enable you to see that bread of life, water of life, which is light, which is sweet symphonies, music of the spheres, which is called, these are the two aspects, are the world or love. So this is, we have to, this is realized by first, withdrawing all the consciousness from the body up to the eye center, and from there taking up by means of word and numb to lead you where from that power emanated. Now you have come to know that the bread of life and water of life within us already existing, but we cannot partake of it until we withdraw from outside and rise our body consciousness out of senses. Maulana Rumi says, except you rise above your senses, you cannot have the mysteries of beyond. This is all masters tell us. Except ye be born anew, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. They are the bread of life and water of life, you see. Scriptures tell us there are rivulets, rivers of the honey and the milk, you see. This only to show that the bread of life and the water of life and the honey and the milk, which are refreshing for the soul, that you will find there. So that is just to come in contact with the world. Now let us tell our name, the name. Let us turn to our scriptures, what do they say on this subject. Christ came, he said, I am the bread of life. This bread of life has come from heaven. Whoever partakes of it has everlasting life. Similarly, they always refer, well, when he addressed to a Samaritan lady asking for water, and she was in an inferiority complex, then he told me, look here, had she known who it was who was asking for water, she would have given it, but it appears that she had not known me. But had she, this water, what she is carrying, simply quenches the thirst for a while. Had she come to me, I would have given such living water of life, which once drunk, she would not thirst again. So this is what Christ said, this is what other masters also say in their own language. Well, now what we do? We take some symbols like that, we drink and we eat, you see, taking as the blood and the flesh of Christ. But masters refer to it. The same word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. It is word personified, which manifests in us if we just withdraw from outside and have that experience or come in contact with that, naturally we will be, our hunger will appease. Will be appeased and the thirst quenched forever. Now what is that word, you see? Word, it is called in the Bible. And in other scriptures it is called a name, a shabda. All of the masters have referred to it. Zoroaster puts it as Sarosha and Anstapa. Pythagoras puts it as the music of the of all harmonies, and truth clothed in light. The Veda tells us Shruti, the Jyoti and Shruti Maharaj. Mahamudra called by their own names, Kalma and Kalamakali. So, this is food of life already existing in man. We can partake of it if we just withdraw from outside and rise above. God is worldless. When it came into being, it is called world. God is nameless. When it came into being, it is called name. So world you'll find, from one word proceed all things, and all things tell of him. In St. John it is said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was in the world. That world is the creator of all, maker of all, controlling of all. Forever, O Lord, thy world is settled in heaven. Again they say, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. This I am quoting only to show that word, what does the word mean? Upholding all things by the word of his power. Further on, they say it is everlasting. So they refer to it, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. So God in expression power is for all time. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. This was not mere letter W-R-D, but it means something behind, which is everlasting power, God in action power, or God into expression power. And it has two aspects. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light on my path. That aspect of the light. And further you will find in the revelations, they say, I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. They further go to say, they heard harpers playing in the house. So that word has two aspects. When that is contacted by rising above body consciousness, you have, that is the bread of life and the water of life. You find the same expression, word is easier said than known, I would say. And practice, it is only an adept in the mysteries of this world, who knows it, knows its true significance and the great power that lies hidden in it. Apparently it is just a syllable, but what it denotes is beyond understanding even by the most learned people. Though it may be possible to apprehend it through the grace of one well-versed not only in the theory but in the practice as well of the world. Only such a man can give you contact with that word, with word personified. Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Who can give you contact with God? God has no parents, no equals, no friends, no brothers, sisters. We will have to say where that God power in action is manifest, God resides in every heart. Where it is manifest, that manifested God can help you to give you contact with Himself by raising you from the senses and the outward faculties. So all Mahasavan the same thing about the Naam or Rupa. They say Naam and the named are in fact one and the same. There is hardly any distinction between the two. One is the active form of that which is concrete. So light cannot be separated from the sun. The two go together, all the world over. Similarly, Godhood and God cannot be demarcated. In the watertight compartments, I will say, as two separate entities. The former is just an attribute of the other. One power is an expression, the other is not absolute. You see. So name is nothing more than less or less than Godhood of God. So you find what the scriptures tell us. All other scriptures also tell us the same thing. So all that is of and from now our world. For it pervades everywhere. It is the life principle of the entire creation. He in whom this world and Naam has become personified is called a saint. For it is said that the world was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, such a one has reached the summum bonum of life and can also is competent to give us some morsels of food, you see, you might say, from his own banquet hall. So, to have just a contact with Naam, our world, by withdrawing outside and rising above body consciousness, or being born anew into the beyond, or learning to die while alive, you have a contact with that bread of life and the water of life. These have been the basic teachings of all masters who came in the past. As I gave you some history before, Socrates also referred to it. He says, he heard within him a peculiar sound which pulled him irresistibly into higher spiritual regions. Plato also referred to it as music of the spheres. And all of the masters have said so. So this is the true bed of life and the water of life that we can give to our bodies. Unless we have that thing, we are not spiritually strong. On the spiritual health depends the health of mind and body both. So Master tell us that if you come in contact with that God in action power which is called world or Naam, you will have that bread of life, you will be spiritually strong, and the outer things will not be so much pinching as they are now. And moreover, all masters have spoken about the greatness of Naam and world and its need. The extent of spiritual regions cannot be gained except with the wings of Naam or world. It has two things, you see. It has light and sound. Even a child when it is born, you see, if he is crying, you just put a light before him, he keeps quiet. If you ring the little bell, even then he keeps quiet. So he has got some consciousness of that power within him. When quiet a child, when he grows old, he begins to seek that thing, the outer lights and beauties and the music and outside things. So man is deluded by mind and outgoing faculties. They say that the child is in the womb, not in the stay of his life there. It is the light and sound within. When he is born, he cries, because he is just cut off from that. Then you show him the little light, or ring a little bell, he keeps quiet. So that shows that reminds you of the child, what thing he had in the mother's womb to support him. So these are the things, a touch with the divine current goes to purify us of all iniquities. If you come in contact constantly, that becomes audible to you, and that light becomes apparent, manifest to you. So by coming in contact with that, all doubts and distractions become airy nothing, and the mind becomes steady and firm, with the result that the God's light is reflected therein. Mind cannot be controlled, mind, by the outgoing, by the outward ways or methods. By thinking or other methods, for a while it is under control, when again it begins to run away. So it is just like putting fire in the ashes that continue burning, but apparently it does not seem to be burning. If the wind blows, well, ashes are blown away and the fire is there. But if you put water on the fire, that will be extinguished forever. No amount of wind or hurricane will flare it up. Similarly, the outward things may appear to be just controlling your mind for a while, but again it raises its head and runs away. So there is one thing to keep it under control. It is the light and the sound principle of the word and noun, which is the controlling power within your own bodies. If you come in contact with that, you will see a deer in the jungle, you see, runs very fast. No horse can pursue him. He just runs so fast, you see, that no horse can overtake him. But how they are caught? Just the hunters beat a drum. On the sound, it is so much enchanted, the deer comes and lays down his head on the drum beat. He has slavery for all through life. Similarly, he will play a winner. Even the most poisonous snake is controlled, lays down his head. Lord Krishna's time is his life. There's an incident to show, I would say it is a parable, not incident, that he just entered, plunged into the Jamuna River, and there under he found a cobra with 1,000 heads. While playing on the flute, he killed that cobra, you see, with 1,000 heads. What does it go to show? That this mind resides in us. It has 1,000 ways of controlling us in the body and outside. If that can be controlled, unless the mind is controlled, you cannot know even yourself what to speak of God. For Master Saint said that mind is the only thing, the iron curtain between you and God. If you could control it, lay one step on it, that is, if you control it, the other step that you take, that will go to the very presence of God. So mind is the thing which is controlling us in the body. Until that is controlled, there is no other way. So how to control? This is the light and the sweet symphonies of the world within. When we come in contact with that, that controls the mind forever. Mind in the outside things is pleasure lies in two things: beautiful scenery or sweet music. When you see any beautiful scenery, your mind is just enchanted there forever, dragged on there, or drawn there. Or when you, even now, you just see a very sweet music coming to you, at once your attention, your mind will be drawn there. So, to control the mind, this light and sound principle of the world and noun is the only thing we can control it forever. And liberate your soul from all outer entanglements. Know yourself, and that very thing will lead you to where? From where it emanated, you see. So Master says, well, rise above body consciousness. They not only say rise above, they help us to rise above body consciousness and give us a contact with the God into expression power, which is called word and noun, the expression of which is light and sound. When you come, noun may appear but immanishable compared with the countless suns that abound. But a dose of noun or word, when taken, reduces the entire garbage to a heap of ashes. Similarly, the practice of coming in contact with the noun or the world power leaves us where all mental cleans all our mental impurities. Noun acts as a spark of fire in a heap of garbage, you might say, the sins we have, so many things with us. So these are the things which are with us. We will have that bread of life and the water of life. If we have that thing, naturally that leads us where? To the place we are from, which is emanated. So all Master, when they come, they gave us the same thing. They say, well, open your inner eye, just have the seals broken by some master, will do so by giving you an experience, by giving you a sitting. You know, to rise above body consciousness, now it is darkness within. When you close your eyes, when he gives you an experience, that seal is broken and you find what? Light there already. You may say that we are blind before going to a master. When we return after having a sitting with him, with his grace, the God in him, when you return, you are a man of eyes. That is why Christ said, they have eyes and see not. The blind man is defined to be the one not who has no eyes on the forehead and on the face, but the one whose inner eye is closed. So that is why it is said all Master say whenever people go to Him, they give us eyes. They are also competent to give the outer eyes too, but this is the real eyes that they open. Even the blind men, when they go to them, they begin to see with it. So these are the things which are given by all masters who came in the past, and they came in almost all religions. These are the basic teachings. So that is why they always say the light of the body is the eye. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If you shut the doors of the temple of the body, you will see the light of heaven. Other masters say your outgoing faculties are inverted, you will see the light is there. We are in this laboratory of the man body that we are carrying. This is the true temple of God, which is made by God. Outer temples and holy places of worship are man-made after the image of man. They are models, dome-shaped, all Hindu temples, forehead-shaped, all masks of the Mohammedans, cross-shaped. You know what is the cross? This is the cross. Rise above. Take cross daily. So all churches have all these holy places of worship. They have got symbols of light and sound. You find in the scriptures it is said, God does not reside in temples made with stones by the hand of man. Then where is He resides? He resides in the true temple of the man body. If you want to have a glimpse of Him, you will have to enter this laboratory of the man body, which is the true temple of God. So these are things for which we have joined various religions. We have to see now whether we have got that attainment as yet or not. If we have got well and good, but you find that we have taken first steps, the elementary steps of reading scriptures, which are through which the old masters are speaking, giving out these very things. We should have the right import thereof. Right import alone we can have at the feet of somebody who had those experiences, who is competent to give you a lift while alive, open your inner eye, raise you up above the senses, and open your eye to see the light of God. And here also the voice of God. These are the elective lifts. If you sit in them, they will take you to the place from there that emanated to the absolute God, or the wordless or the nameless state of God. So all masters who have been coming, giving these very teachings from time to time, when they leave the scene, we forget. And those very schools of thought which are set up with a very noble purpose, they become deteriorated. So long as the practical people are there, they go on all right. For want of them, those formations become stagnation, and stagnation results in deterioration. When our masters come, they revolt. They have said this is not what they meant. They meant, of course, that is the elementary step, these are good actions. you will have all these for the preparation of the ground. Ethical life is stepping stone to spirituality. Who can rise above senses if he is not a truthful man, a righteous man, who has a true living? So truth is above all, and true living is still above truth. Unless you have got, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So all masters who came in the past in different religions, they gave out the same common thoughts, you see. The only thing now remains with us to live up to that. First, to understand the true import of the scriptures at the feet of those who have just on the way, know the way, can also put us on the way, not giving a lecture but by giving a practical experience to rise above body consciousness, to have experience of the light and sound of God and testify themselves that it is so. Then you can develop day to day, which will lead you to the ultimate goal from which this emanated, to the wordless or the nameless state of God, what is absolute. So this is the digest of the teachings of the masters who came in the past. Blessed you are judging some religion or the other. Whatever step you have taken, that's well and good. But we must take another step. And what is that? Where the world philosophies end, there the living stars. Philosophies deal with theories, and mysticism deals with reality. Someone who can give you contact with that light and sound principle, which will lead you to the ultimate goal, to the source from which these emanated. And this is a natural way which even a child can have experience. Whoever whose attention is not diffused much, he is the best receptacle for this truth. That is why Christ said, "Suffer little children to come unto me, for there's the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God." Well, I'm here not to advocate any particular religion or the other. Remain where you are. Must just be true Christians, true Hindus, true Mohammedans, true to your own religions, to your own teachings, which are already there. Unfortunately, we have forgotten. My master used to say, "Here's the truth. Take it over to the world." He says, "If you find any more truths than that, then you take it and tell me, I will also go." My master's our ways for truth. This is what truth we have found in the scriptures by thorough study of religions, as well as by the grace of the masters at whose feet I had the good fortune to sit. And this can be expected of only a competent master who will be able to give you an experience thereof, something to start with. You may find many people who can give very wonderful talks. Suppose the man comes to you, he gives you a talk on business principles, very wonderful talk, very appreciative, very informative, but the people to whom he gives the talk, poor fellows, have got no money, no capital. What will your lecture do? If you are able to give them some capital, then your lecture will do something. The master says, competent person is one master who can give you something to start with, who can give you an experience how to rise, who is competent to raise your soul above the senses, open your inner eye, you testify that there is light and you testify there is wife of God. More or less, according to each man's background. If once you have that experience, you can develop it from day to day. So I told you, I have come here not to advocate any particular religion or represent any particular religion, but all the truths underlying all religions, as given out by all true masters in the past. Whatever step you have taken, you are fortunate. But now take a step further to be true to the teachings which are already in your scriptures. But pity it is, even the ministers of our religions are not, in contact with these truths. They only give out the formal things or the elementistic things. About this, they do not know anything. I had an experience, you see, and now by heart-to-heart talk with the religious heads of the different religions, I find they have just stuck fast in the elementary way, which is the preparation of the ground. They know little or nothing beyond it. When I was in service, I had this Christian superintendent under me. I asked him to just ask for the bishop of that place, who I considered to be the most advanced, asking this bell ringing which goes on in the churches, what does it stand for? And he said, it is only to call men together. Whereas those enter the Hindu temples, they ring the bell themselves. These are symbols, you see, comparing to the voice of God we hear within, as I quoted you from scriptures too, Bible too. Pity it is, even if our minister, the four heads of who are running the show, they are not in this full know of things, and how can those who follow them? Anyhow, this is what I have come to know by parallel study of religions and by sitting at the feet of my masters in India, Baba Saman Singh, that I have laid before you. Let's see whatever steps you have taken, you are blessed. For the further thing what I have referred to, just suppose your heads of your religions and ask them what they are. If they are competent to give you, well and good, blessed you are. If not, that is the truth that we have to follow. God will make some arrangement to bring you in contact somewhere where you can be put on the way. Well, thank you for your patient hearing.